The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. We have John Wilner, weekly words of wisdom with John Wilner, all things college football, Michigan square in the middle of it. People after Michigan again, Ohio State fans saying, I knew they were cheaters. The big story over the weekend in college football, John Wilner will be with us, plus coaches that are on the hot seat. Ralph Amsden is going to be with us today. Those of you in the Valley know Ralph very well for the work that he has done through the years over at Arizona Varsity and other places. Ralph is now part of what we do. Yesterday, Ralph dove in and went and watched the Wilcox girls softball team because Ralph lives in North Carolina. So he actually took it in, and I wanted him to jump on board and kind of talk about a cool story because we have all the other stuff to talk about. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Also going to talk to Ralph about his journey. It's an eclectic, I think eclectic is a good word for Ralph. He's a good dude, and he's gone a lot of different directions. He's not afraid, was what you need in this business. And he's doing some national stuff, so plenty to get into with Ralph Ams. It's kind of like a media podcast, I would say. The story of the day, stories of the day, I could go local, and I watched the Hometown Nine over the weekend in Pittsburgh. Every last one of those games was entertaining. Very entertaining baseball. I will say this about the Diamondbacks, and I mean it in all sincerity. Sometimes you watch a team, and they're just kind of dull and drab, and there's not a whole lot there. Then you watch a team where, yeah, some of the excitement is their closer or their bullpen can't figure it out. They come in with gas can and matches rather than glove and ball. This team, yesterday they're facing Paul Skenes. Paul Skenes is going to win Rookie of the Year. Paul Skenes is viewed as one of the best pitchers. He started the All-Star game. He has all that in a bag of chips. And he's leading 4-0 over the Diamondbacks, and it's, okay, this game's over. Well, not so fast. That's how it works with this team. They gave one away in Pittsburgh, but they took 2 of 3. They win another series. If we're talking about Executive of the Year, it gets easy to talk about Ketel Marte as, well, he should be the MVP, that's spoken like a true hometown sportscaster. When the reality is, Ohtani is going to get all the votes from Los Angeles, and Bryce Harper is going to get all the votes on the East Coast, because nobody in the East Coast watches the Diamondbacks play baseball. That's a fact. If we're talking about voters, you would hope that there'd be some that would be well-educated and well-informed. Having done this for a few years, that's not the case. So they have their allegiances, they have their teams. Ohtani gets so much worldwide attention. Somebody puts Ohtani second on their, well, what do you mean you put Ohtani second in your ballot? You put a second baseman or a DH with the Diamondbacks? Yeah, if you look at what Ketel Marte has done this season, first of all, if we're talking about most valuable player, the Dodgers are in first place because Ohtani is there. They've had a ton of injuries, okay? The Diamondbacks are right at second, third, right there in the wild card because of Ketel Marte. Without Ketel Marte, they're fighting with Colorado. They are. If you look at the number of times he has made big defensive plays, forget about offense for a minute. Just look at what he's done with his glove. If you watch day in and day out, and I have found myself, like, I know today at 3:30, I'm going to watch them play at Cleveland. I'm adjusting my calendar. It's almost like back in the day of Randy and Kurt. When Randy pitched and Kurt pitched, and yeah, I was working around the game at that time. I was doing the pre and the post. So I was already into it. But when you look at where the Diamondbacks are as a team, and you see how they fight, scratch, claw, come back, and they rinse, repeat, they do it again. Yeah, Paul Sewald has been an adventure at the back end of the bullpen. That's part of the game of baseball. By the way, they're going to need Paul Sewald. They are going to need him. It's not like you can just say, no, we don't need him anymore, and he's going to blow games. They're going to need him to get the job done. So the Diamondbacks take 2-3 in Pittsburgh. They play at Cleveland today, and Zach Gallen will be on the mound. And very much looking forward to that. The Cardinals host New Orleans on Saturday, and I don't care about preseason football. I don't. I know who the starting quarterback is going to be for the Cardinals, and if they have to go to their backup, that's really bad. So let's just start there, okay? I am interested to see Spencer Rattler play for New Orleans because we saw him in high school. He almost became a Sun Devil, went from Oklahoma over to South Carolina. He is with the Saints. So I'm very interested to see how that works out. These new kickoff rules, the NFL is trying to tweak their game to open up more offense, and they talk about player safety when they have owners that want to have 18 to 20 games. So just take the player safety thing and please throw it out the window. They don't care. Just go get somebody. Next man up. Next man up. Meaning, we'll go find somebody else and just stick them in there and we'll tear them up. And we'll play 20 games. He did give Zaven Collins a contract extension. And I liked what Zaven Collins said. Here's a first round pick that's actually made it. If we go back through the Steve Keim era, and the number of first-round picks that didn't work, or just through this organization in general, even during Rod Graves' tenure. Well, but what about Larry Fitzgerald? Yeah, okay. All right, what about Tommy Knight? You know, what about Leland McElroy? Let's not play that game, okay? You're not going to win on that game. So Zaven Collins, when I saw what I saw his press conference, he gets his contract extension. They didn't pick up his option a couple times. Now, in this world of bitterness and anger and I'm being slept on, I'm being disrespected, Zaven Collins is like, you know, we just handled this man to man. If you haven't seen what he said, you should go. I think it's on the Cardinals YouTube page, their YouTube channel. He said things that you just don't hear nowadays. You just don't hear it. And it's refreshing because it's, I handle this man to man. Not I'm being slept on, not the agents negotiating through the media, not all the typical nonsense. I like that. It's just, it's different. So we have fake football this weekend, and some people get excited for it. I didn't watch a second the other night when there was a game on. I think it was the Bears. I think it was. I think the Texans played. No, the Olympics have me hooked, which is, you know, it comes along every couple of years. We're in the dead part of August, dead part of summer in programming. And the Olympic Games I have found to be much more refreshing. I don't know if it was because of COVID and there was nobody in the stands. I don't know if it's because NBC was trying so dang hard to push and promote all their stuff, which I get to a point. But it doesn't feel as though this year, like the opening ceremonies, I saw Savannah and Hoda, and if you don't watch NBC, that's their morning show. I don't watch their morning show. I cannot handle morning show TV. That is image rehab where you go. Soft pink sweater on the chair. How could you have gone through this? Oh, I'm so sorry. I screwed up. I have a book, by the way, I'm pushing. Or I want to thank my therapist. And next segment, rinse, repeat. Oh, that's so interesting. That's so fascinating. Blah. So there hasn't been that much. And yeah, they're going to show Tom Cruise sitting at an event. It's fine. It's fine. By and large, the competitions have taken center stage. You know, even the stuff with Snoop, I think, has been smart. It's been smart. It's been fun. The opening ceremonies didn't do enough on the athletes. I thought they missed the mark there. I wasn't one that was outraged with the opening ceremonies. Outrage is all over. I'm outraged. It's worn me out. I'm going to do my thing. It doesn't bother me. It's the way it is. Oh, you should be bothered by that. No, it's entertainment. It's Friday night. It's very heavy. Glass of wine. Enjoy yourself. So the part about the Olympics that I find interesting is Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has been just amazing to watch. We didn't see that happen as much with the Suns, and maybe that's because he didn't have LeBron James alongside of him. But if we're being true to one another, the best player on Team USA has been Devin Booker. And I'm not saying that because I live here in Phoenix. If we're being true and just watch both ends of the court, both ends of the court. It's nothing like Devin's going out and hitting big dunks or having run of points. He's playing well, super, super basketball on both ends of the court. Has been selfless, has just kind of been invisible because he's so visible on the defensive end to me. And I like that. I'm not one that needs to see the fancy stuff. Ant-Man can do his deal. Anthony Edwards is great. He had the windmill dunk. Fine. It's a dunk. It's 2 points. Watch on the other end of the floor. Watch the passing. Watch the screens. Watch working. And what you're seeing is Devin Booker. And who's been in the starting lineup for the most part? Devin Booker. So yesterday, Steve Kerr was asked about, will Kevin Durant be in the starting lineup? It doesn't mean anything. Like, he doesn't need to be in the starting lineup. He really doesn't. How would it look if Kevin Durant got to a point in his career where he was a sixth man? You're going to play 20 minutes a game. How would it look in the regular season if Kevin Durant played 20 minutes a game? You're not going to play 35 minutes a game. Would he be that much more effective? Would he ever be open and receptive to that? Am I saying they should do that now? No. Kind of like how he just comes off. And sure, he's coming off the bench with a bunch of superstars. But guys, as their career gets closer to the end, sometimes, they're willing to have a different sort of role. Kevin Durant just kind of cruises into the game. You know, I'm hearing Dwayne Wade talk about his work ethic, Kevin's work ethic. We've seen Kevin Durant's work ethic here. I've seen it right up close all the way back to his first game with the Suns in Charlotte and then Chicago. It's really interesting and impressive how hard he works before the game. And so is there too much being made of it? Do they get the gold medal with Durant on the, it doesn't matter who starts, by the way. It doesn't matter who starts. It matters who finishes. Sounds like an old saying. It is, but it's true. And I don't need to see Kevin Durant out there. Yes. To start a game. I've not found the women's game to be very interesting. Full disclosure. I would love to have seen Caitlin Clark on this team. There's really nobody on the USA women's team that lights up a crowd like Caitlin Clark. Sorry. Just a fact. So I watched them yesterday. It's like, yep, they're doing what they're supposed to do. But there's nothing that I would say is overly dramatic, overly like, wow. Did you see that? Yeah, just going about their business. Swimming was fun. Noah Lyles was fun. That's good. It's all, the Olympics are fine. I've got another week and then I'll be burned out. I'm starting to get just a little bit like, okay, I've seen enough swimming. Okay, I've seen a little bit of track. All right, the basketball is going to get a little bit more difficult. On the college basketball scene, GCU continues to schedule and schedule up. They are going to play Georgia. I like that a lot. ASU, GCU, U of A, we're going to have a fun college basketball season. We are. It's all the new stuff going on. And then there's Michigan. Michigan, the biggest story of the day in college football, actually in college sports, is Michigan getting caught with their hand in the cookie jar or much, much more. And it's their new head coach that's in the middle of it. The word show cause, violations. We've seen what a joke the NCAA is with how they've handled ASU. We're going to get into all that with a great John Wilner, Wilner Hotline. Every Monday, John joins us. That's next. John Wilner is with us, as always, for a few minutes. Wilner Hotline. It's good to catch up with John on a national plane, looking at everything going on in college football week in and week out. We're going to spend this entire segment on Michigan against the world. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go to Connor Stallions. We're going to go to the Netflix documentary that's coming out. We're going to go to Sharon Moore Cheats. Every Ohio State fan is going to love us. Throw them under the bus. Tony Petitti is going to suspend him, kick him out, show cause. Where do you want to go with this story, John? Because it is taking over college football today.
It has. Well, first of all, anyone who thought that Connor Stallions was acting alone was deluding themselves and buying Michigan's narrative hook, line, and sinker, right? There was no chance ever that he was doing it. Nobody else knew. And the NCAA report indicates that at least one assistant and a bunch of staffers were aware of it. There's no hard evidence that Jim Harbaugh knew, but I mean, come on. Everybody knows that and there were plenty of people involved in the whole scheme, right? So that's the first thing, right? Michigan's, you know, quote unquote, lone gunman theory, lone spy man theory has been blown out of the water. Now, Moore is facing some big trouble because, you know, he was found guilty of deleting text messages. The issue for Moore and Michigan is it's not the first offense, right? They had recruiting issues. ASU fans will, this will resonate with ASU fans. Michigan was accused of recruiting issues during COVID, recruiting violations during COVID, and found that they violated some rules. So Moore was part of that, and so was Michigan. So the NCAA could get them for second time offenders within a very short span of time. And the penalties are much worse if you're a second-time offender.
But, John, the NCAA has no teeth, in my opinion. Okay, really, the way that things went with the ASU investigation, and it took forever, am I really to believe that the NCAA is going to say, show cause Michigan, you're not going to be able to compete, you're all fired? Do I really believe that? I don't.
Well, your skepticism is super, I mean, very, very valid, right? NCAA has no teeth is a good way to describe it. Probably a very polite way to describe it.
They're incompetent.
Incompetent. But I think that there was enough outrage about this and there's enough evidence that they could hit Michigan. Now, it will take a while, right? First of all, Harbaugh he's off in the NFL, coaching the Chargers, living out of that Jim Rockford thing he's got on the beach, right? He's okay. I think that the NCAA, given the process, right, Michigan's got 90 days to respond and then 60 days for this and that. There's no way it's going to get resolved before the end of the season. Michigan is not going to get banned from the postseason this year, right? But some point next winter or spring, we could very well see Michigan get hit hard, right? Forfeiting games, losing scholarships, maybe Moore has another suspension. I just, you know, the big question is going to be, will at some point in the future Michigan be barred from the postseason? That's probably that's a little hard to believe. I would agree with that.
Well, it's the Ohio State fans are the ones that are jumping up and down the most. I think this will sound pretty callous, but the New England Patriots, the Houston Astros, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. There's some form of it. Shoot, Todd Graham, when he was here, had sign stealing stuff going on with his son, if we remember correctly, back in the day. This isn't like the newest thing, but there are now 52 text messages that were deleted with Sharone Moore and Connor Stallions. Stallions is a guy that was out there doing the spying, so to speak. So if we're going off of 52 text messages, John, as the big one in this. Again, it's the incompetence of the NCAA, because Michigan will say, how do you know? What do you know? What do you have there? What can you actually prove?
Right. Well, without subpoena power, the NCAA is limited. But the initial notice of it, allegations does seem to suggest that they've got enough evidence to levy some punishments. And what we don't know is, what are they going to get about anyone else, right? How big was the spy ring? How many people were involved? What did they know? I think that Michigan's going to get hit for this. Again, it might take a while. I think they're going to get hit. And yes, everybody does some form of sign stealing, but this was such an orchestrated, first of all, you're not allowed to do advanced scouting. You can't send somebody to a game with a video camera,
right,
in the stands, filming the other team's signs. You can't do that. That is clearly against the rules. It's a competitive advantage. You know, I've heard Washington fans questioning, well, if Michigan has all their games forfeited, does that make Washington the national champion?
Yeah.
It does not. And if I were a Washington fan, I wouldn't want it that way. But look, this is above and beyond the normal sign stealing. And that's why so many folks in the Big Ten and other places were totally outraged. Right. I mean, the guy they bought tickets to an Oregon game in case they were going to face Oregon in the postseason.
So Tony Petitti, what does he do here? Because last year he did step in. Last year he did suspend Jim Harbaugh. Last year he did take action. What is the stance? What do you think the Big Ten commissioner is going to do on this one?
Right. Well, he was under enormous pressure last year to act before because the NCAA was going to take a long time. And basically other coaches and schools in the Big Ten, they wanted blood immediately. So Petitti was under enormous pressure to do something last season so that Harbaugh and Michigan couldn't get away scot-free. I think at this point, the Big Ten will stand down and let the NCAA process do its work, even if that means Michigan doesn't get penalized during this upcoming season because the process takes so long, right? We saw with ASU, I mean, Arizona basketball took years, right? It'll take a while, but I don't think at this point the Big Ten will jump in and supersede the NCAA process again because they have already punished Michigan once by suspending Harbaugh 3 games last year.
Yeah, and on the field, we're looking forward to week 2, Texas versus Michigan.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to these games where I think it's mid-September, third week in September, Michigan against USC. And this whole thing is going to get brought up every single week. Isn't going to go away.
No, it's not. And Michigan is one of the most interesting teams of the upcoming season because you've got this hanging over them, because you got a new coach with more to trying to defend their title. Harbaugh's gone. I am fascinated to see how Michigan does. That Texas game will tell us a lot about Michigan's chances to get in the playoff, right? I mean, that's, you know, if you're looking at it from the perspective of some of the West Coast schools, right? Michigan loses badly early. That will indicate they may not be ready to make a run at the playoff. That opens a door potentially for a school like USC to get a Big Ten at-large berth. So there's a lot of dominoes involved, and we'll have some clarity early with that Michigan-Texas game.
Okay, let's get into some coaches and some news as we're on the field now. Finally, we can see games right around the corner. Is there smoke and fire at Colorado? There's a lot coming out at Colorado and gambling debt being repaid and punishments and this and that. John, what is going on at Colorado with Deion Sanders' team?
Well, certainly Athlon Sports had a big story on issues in the locker room, right? Gambling debt, bullying, guns, all this stuff. I'm hesitant to draw any conclusions. It was based on anonymous sources. Yeah, I think you kind of have to be a little bit wary of jumping to conclusions. But what you can do is you can take what we already know about how Deion runs his program, very cutthroat, about how Shedeur and Shiloh Sanders kind of act as the police in that program for doing their father's bidding. And you can kind of draw some conclusions about what the general tone is like in their locker room and how for some players it may feel very unwelcoming. I don't know about the specifics, but certainly, you know, the Sanders kids, quite frankly, they I have not been impressed with them at all. They come off like punks a little bit, much more so than Deion. I haven't really had a big issue with anything Deion's done, but Shiloh and Shedeur, right, they don't seem very likable in a lot of ways. And so you can kind of take that and you read the article from Athlon's and you can kind of see how things in that locker room might be a little bit fragile. We'll see what happens on the field, right? It could deteriorate very quickly. If they don't start well and they end up with another losing season and all this stuff, you know, there's more reports of locker room issues. It could go sideways for Deion pretty quick. And we knew that. I mean, this was a huge risk. I thought it was a great hire because Colorado was desperate and you need to do something like that. But it could end up backfiring on the school, and there's no question about that.
Lincoln Riley. So I'm looking at coaches on the hot seat, and I've got to look at Lincoln Riley this season. And it's really down the line of, okay, late in the year, if they don't beat Notre Dame, they've lost 5 of the last 6 to Notre Dame. And I know this to be true about USC Big Cigar alums. That's the game that made UCLA doesn't matter. I mean, very little matters. It's about, do you beat Notre Dame and how do you do against Stanford and all that stuff? Is Lincoln Riley in trouble this year?
I think he is I would classify him as being on the warm seat, but there is, you know, there's a group of boosters that are at the knob, ready to turn that knob on to high if they have a bad year. So he's one of several coaches, I think, that aren't in position that they're going to get fired at the end of this season, but they would enter next year in a very tenuous situation, right? Riley, I think Kalani Sitake from BYU's in that situation as well. Warm seat. So I don't know that Riley, I don't think his job is in jeopardy. If things crater and they're 4-8, then maybe. But if we assume that, you know, they kind of muddle along and they get to 7-5, 8-4, I think it'll just be a lot of pressure next season.
Yes, because I look at Ryan Day. If he doesn't beat Michigan, he's going to have a very, very hot seat.
Yeah.
I look
yeah.
at Billy Napier and he opens the season and gets his head kicked in against Miami of Florida. He may be gone before they even get halfway through the year.
Yeah.
There's certain jobs you just look at and say, this is about to change.
Well, Napier, I think, is a different level from where Riley is. I agree with you. Napier, to me, is the hottest. He's got the hottest seat in the country. And if you look, their schedule the last 5-6 weeks is absolutely murderer's row. So I don't see any way that Florida is going to come out of this season with a record good enough to support bringing back Napier. And so then you get into the domino game again, right? Jed Fish is now he's at Washington. He's a Florida alum. He's said to covet that job. If Napier gets fired, would Fish leave Washington after one season and take over his alma mater? Where would Washington turn at that point? Like, do they go after Jonathan Smith? I mean, you could go down that wormhole forever, but I agree that Napier, to me, is the hottest seat in the country. Maybe Sam Pittman at Arkansas, Dave Aranda at Baylor. Those are a couple other guys where if they don't do well this year, they're getting fired in December. I would not put Riley necessarily in that group. He's only had two seasons. One of those seasons, they won 11 games. So, and the USC would be on the hook for a lot of money. I kind of feel like he's going to have a fourth year no matter what, but we'll see.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and insight as always. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
There's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, there's a lot to cover here with Ralph Amston because Ralph and I have known each other for many years. He would know the exact dates and times because I'm just not good at that stuff. But we've known each other a long time. And through the years, he launched Arizona Varsity. He's been a part of CUSD for a long time. He's covered the Arizona State beat. He's covered wide-ranging topics. He's part of a national show with George Reister. He's doing stuff with us. He's part of Sports 360. See that little shirt there? That's a big deal. We had to send that, fit him, get it all tailored. Should I call you Man About Town or Man About Country? I don't know the title for you. Unicorn?
I'm just happy you called. I don't care what you call me.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Let's go off of first. What are you doing with us? How'd this come together?
Well, you said that I know dates, and I guess I do. September 7th, 2013 is the first time I wrote a column for Sports 360, and it was about what all the Chandler schools were up to, what Chandler I had going on under Sean Aguano, what Hamilton had going on under Steve Bellis. And that was almost 11 years ago. We've been doing stuff together. You've done stuff for my website. I've done stuff for your website. It's just coming to a point where I love your mission. I love what you do. And I will help out in any way I can. And I've already, in the last couple of weeks, I've been on some pretty wild adventures.
Well, just yesterday. I think it's cool. So Ralph and I were talking this last week, and it just hit me where Ralph's in North Carolina. So for full disclosure, you moved there a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls from Wilcox softball are playing in Greenville, North Carolina. It just hit me like, I wonder how far that is from Ralph. And I did, back in the day, the Little League, Chandler Little League story. It was one of my favorite pieces I've ever done. 4 days of just, it wasn't the Suns. It wasn't the NFL. It wasn't the biggest thing, but it was really big to these little 12-year-olds and their parents. And so yesterday, Ralph, on his social, he's there with his daughter, and you took it all in. It was your first time, I'm assuming, it's something like that. What'd you think?
I mean, it was fantastic. I hate to... I hate to go the Scott Bordeaux route and talk about the accommodations, but there was no complaints that like, oh, we pull up. I got like the best parking space ever. Didn't have to pay. You go into the stadium. It's free to attend. So they're not milking extra money out of these parents that had to travel 2,000 miles. There's all of these vendors that are there just giving things away for free. Topps Sports Cards was out there, and they have something called Athletes United. They said that there's not enough interest to make sports cards of just female athletes in an individual sport. So what they did is they've released them as all so you get a pack of cards. It's just all female athletes across all these sports, and then they get a cut. So it was really cool to watch my daughter be like trading female athlete sports card, like Natasha Cloud sports cards with other kids. The environment was great. The weather was great. Is on a Sunday morning. So, you know, there weren't a ton of people out there in North Carolina. People don't do much on Sundays, but just the setup of the entire event was awesome. It was staffed really well. The girls looked like they were having fun. The crowds were friendly to each other. Just everything about the environment was, I can't wait to do it again.
Different.
Yes. Different. Yeah. And awesome. And really like boiled down to what makes us fall in love with sports.
Right.
Kids having fun and expressing themselves and getting to meet other kids from all over the world.
And the pitcher for Wilcox, she's something, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So here's a little story. I walk in, you know, none of these parents know me. I've covered games in Wilcox, you know, high desert, Gila Valley area. Love going down there to do football games every once in a while. We got a guy out there, Lee Patterson, who knows everything, does everything.
Yep.
And so he kind of keeps me up to date on what's going on. He reached out to me the same time you wrote about what was going on with the Wilcox girls. And, you know, so I go in not really knowing anything other than what I've read. And I go to the parents. They're all sitting in one section. They're all wearing like a light blue. They all say West on them to represent the region they came from. And I announce myself to all the parents, maybe about 40, 50 people. I say, I'm here working for Brad Sesmat, Sports 360 AZ, want to cover the girls. But I got to admit, my knowledge base is low. Is there somebody who can catch me up to speed? All 40 hands point in one direction.
Awesome.
To Hattie McCumber's mom. Like they all know, like it. There's one person that can speak for all of us. It's the mother of this girl who helped carry us to this point. And so I'm talking to Hattie McCumber's mom, and she's not bragging on her daughter at all. She's talking about how, you know, sometimes they get hits from the back of the lineup. Sometimes the four hole shows up for them. That they're a great group of girls. That they've been together for 3 years. They won a 10U championship and back to back 12U championships. They went to San Bernardino to the qualifier last year. Took the eventual winner to extra innings. So they know they had something special. This year, they're able to get it done. And now they're out in Greenville, North Carolina, competing against some of the best teams in the world. And getting to see that girl pitch, hit, do anything, she's different.
Yeah.
Different. And it's a really special, very cool group of girls. But anybody who watched that record-breaking performance yesterday knows that there is somebody on this team doing something very, very special, very hard to ignore. Hattie McCumber, she's an incredible pitcher, very high sports IQ. We'll get into some of the stuff she did in yesterday's game, but just a very, very special athlete, and it was really, really cool to watch her compete.
Where would you put yesterday for you in professional life experience? Just another day, or yeah, it was kind of cool, or, you know, you've covered big stuff, so where would you put it?
It's got the word world in it. So yeah, it's the Little League Softball World Series. And so already there's a gravity there for me. I watch the Little League World Series on television every single year, even though, you know, I think a Chandler team made it one time, and my best friend's dad, Tony Valdez, was one of the coaches. He's since passed on, you know, and so that left a really big impression on me. I mean, the moment that you let me know this was happening, I knew that was something that I had to go do, had to be there. As far as where it ranks, it's going to stand alone. I've never done anything like it, never seen anything like it. Hope to do it again someday. Hopefully Arizona can continue to get representation out there, and hopefully Wilcox's ride keeps going. They play again today, and there's a consolation bracket. So even if they lose today, they'll still be in it. But it stands alone. It's hard to rank it, but it's really just its own thing. So glad I went again, and I could not wait to go have that experience again on a completely different side of the country, watching Arizonans represent themselves.
Well, you know what's cool about it, Ralph, is we go stand, you especially. I'm not doing it as much because I just went through the phase with my youngest son. Friday nights, we go stand on a high school sideline. And I'll still go stand on a high school sideline. I'll go be a public address announcer. If a school needs me to do it, I've done that. I'll go do a web stream with two people watching. It's student run. They need a play-by-play person. I'll do it and have a kid sit next to me. I don't care. It's about kids. And as you get into this profession, you start doing it. Everybody wants to get to the Olympic Games. And that's great. Nothing wrong with that at all. But the idea that going community is something that people turn their noses up at, as I just don't like that at all. When you see a little town like Wilcox, what is Wilcox? 2,000?
3,000. 3,000, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One stoplight, no stoplights. I don't know.
Yeah, this is unbelievable. I mean, I'm from a small town, Brad. Very, very small town. 17,000 people.
Yeah.
3,000 is like... Yeah. And to put together, and it really is a team. It's not just Hattie McCumber, like Jaylene Aguirre, Julie Larson. They've got some really, really good players who have been together for a very, very long time. And they're on television at a Wilcox. Like, this is, you were not exaggerating. You said this might be the coolest story of the year to come out of the state of Arizona.
All right. So you're doing a bunch of stuff. So let's just go through it one by one. And George Reister, this is a national part of you. What are you doing with George?
Yeah, so, you know, George Reister, he played at Oregon. He played tight end in the NFL. Oddly enough, I was at one of his first games back when I had season tickets to the Cardinals at Sun Devil Stadium, playing behind that chain. The only thing that separated the fans from the players is that chain link fence.
Yep.
And I had seen him play both in college and the pros, knew of him. But I guess he had signed on to do a show with Fox. His co-host backed out, and then he was on a non-compete, and he really had that hunger to get into broadcasting. And so he just started his own website, much like you. And I watched him do an interview with Rudy Carpenter, of all people. And through the ages, you know, I haven't exactly gotten along with Rudy, and not everybody has. So I reached out to George, and I was like, this is a fantastic interview. You really got into some things that helped him explain why he sees things the way he does. I just thought that your talent was on display, and you made him look like he was in his best light. And every once in a while, I'm big on say the thing, right? If you have a positive thought pop into your head, try to get it out there, because working in this business, you do need some affirmation. You do need an attaboy and a pat on the back from time to time. Yeah. I know how I like it when people do that for me. So tried to do that for him, and he just wrote back, "Who are you?" And I was like, "Well, that's a big question." And so, you know, we started talking back and forth, and he asked if I wanted to do some stuff together. And I'm a curious person. I wondered how that would go working with a former NFL player. And we both had a deep, deep love for the Pac-12, and that turned into a podcast called the Pac-12 Apostles, which went on for a few years. The Pac-12 disintegrated, which we were being Chicken Little about the entire time, knew it was going to happen. And so the focus really then became, you know, what can we do to push George talents to the next level. And so we've been working together. I'm essentially his writer. So he'll call me first thing in the morning. We'll talk about what's going on in the world. He'll give me his perspective, and I'm going to write some scripts for him. We'll get those filmed, put them up on YouTube, Unafraid Show. And we have takes on all sorts of things. And now we're moving into covering college football on a national level, turning Pac-12 apostles into college football apostles. I'm very nervous, more nervous than I've ever been about anything, because you want to have a standard of really knowing what you're talking about.
Sure.
And it's been some difficult preparation. But last week I got to be at ACC Media Day. And I feel like really stretch myself, do some awesome stuff for Sports 360 AZ in the process. That's what I have going on with George, and my whole goal with him is just to help him unlock what he's doing and bring a really substantive commentary to the college football world. And it's been so much fun.
And people can find the podcast anywhere, right? And we're in that day and age where you can find it anywhere.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Ralph Amsden with us for a couple of minutes. Okay, Arizona Varsity. We're walking right before COVID up on a hill, and Ralph says to me, there's something I want to do. We go get pizza over at Buddy's, rest in peace, Buddy's, some new pizza place, whatever. COVID hits, you launch it. You bring in a group of people that are super talented, and you've grown that. How's that worked?
It does and it doesn't, because you know firsthand that the, you know, if you go into covering high school sports and you come at it with the mindset of, you know, we want to do right by people, there's not a lot of money in doing things the right way. So to get everybody to really agree on the fact that this is really an opportunity to work together, these are pickup games. Like everything we've done with Arizona Varsity for the last few years, it really was pickup games. Can we get together? Can we work together on something? We put it out on display, and can that edify you? If your goal is to move on to a national platform, or your goal is to move into the recruiting space, or your goal with, like, we had Jacob Saliga move into coaching. If you have goals, how can we help you accomplish those goals? And how can we have some fun working together at the same time? Now, the goal of Rivals, which is essentially a recruiting news platform, of which Arizona Varsity is an affiliate of, is to get recruiting news out there. We do plenty of that. We had Chris Eaton on board, Chili. We had so many people like Cody Cameron that were intimately involved in knowing, you know, where these kids wanted to go. But the truth is, a lot of that environment is just about college fans wondering what presents they're going to get for Christmas.
Right, right.
Whereas from our perspective, it's like, these young men and women are becoming people who are eventually going to come back to the state of Arizona and be adults. And, you know, we want to tell their stories. We want to give them some footholds. We really, really want to be invested in their lives as they grow and keep an athlete. That can be oil and water, but it doesn't have to be. So Arizona Varsity still going, still talking recruiting, still talking high school sports, still doing rankings, not individual players, though Rivals does that, but like top 10s throughout the season, week to week, still doing those things that people are interested in. But my partnership with you and Sports 360 gives me the ability to go get to know some of these people a little bit better and not just make it about where they're going to go to school, especially in an era where you might wear three or four jerseys. That where yeah. you're going to go to school becomes less interesting, and who you are as a person becomes almost 90% of what matters.
Yeah, that's well put, because it was back in the day. I can go all the way back to Alan Wallace and Super Prep sending me a fax back in the early 90s of who's looking to go where. And now that stuff doesn't mean anything, because, you know, a kid could be, Tyler Shuck is what, 7 years into this?
Yeah.
He's in four schools. And I'm not making fun of Tyler. It's just by example. Very seldom are we going to see somebody start and finish at the same place. It's just where it's come to now. And it's great that you do your work there. You do Spaces with Arizona State, right?
Yeah. So I think this came out of COVID. A lot of people might recognize the name Jedi ASU on Twitter. His name is Rob. He's an ASU alum. Comes from a long line of U of A alums. He's from Tucson. He's just a really good dude, and he used to do these during COVID. He used to do these meetups, these get-togethers for ASU fans. And I just loved the community aspect of it. Not so much, it's not a message board where you can't determine somebody's intonation or intent with how they're speaking. But it's just really an opportunity to hang out with maybe not like-minded people, but people you have something in common with. And so about 4 years ago, we started this. Twitter allows for these audio spaces for you to go into and just, you know, hang out with people and discuss certain topics. And the Arizona State one kind of took off. And so we've done it maybe on average 40, 45 weeks a year for the last 4 years. And it's been a lot of fun. Familiar faces to get in there. They can express how they feel about ASU, the investigation, Kenny Dillingham, Ray Anderson. You know, we used to have Kenny Dillingham in the spaces listening when he was at Florida State and Oregon, because he really wanted the job and he wanted to get to know the fan base. And, you know, we'd message back and forth afterward about, like, wow, they really feel this way about this thing. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. And so for, you know, for him to get the job, it was like, oh, one of us, you know, somebody from the spaces, somebody who's an ASU alum, somebody who cares deeply about that holistic health of that program moving forward. So, you know, it's just a place for people to get together on Wednesday nights on Twitter. Talk happens real late on my end, but it's 8 p.m. Arizona time every Wednesday, and it's just a really cool opportunity to gather with people, say what it is that you have to say. I try not to dominate too much of the conversation. Some nights nobody wants to talk, so it's just me there 40 minutes rambling, but so, you know, sometimes we get Kyle Dodd in there, you know, sometimes we get DeMario Richard in there. We've had a lot of former players jump in and hang out with us. I think we might get the AD in here sometime soon. And it's just a great place to interact. It's very informal. And not everything is about content, right? Some things are really just about developing relationships.
Yeah.
And I've really cherished and loved my time hanging out with ASU alums.
So it's ASU Spaces, if people want to get in on that, on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. How do you feel about Graham Mussini, Ralph?
Competent. He feels competent. Now, you're graded on what you do and not what you say. Mm-hmm. Ironically, that was Herm Edwards' slogan. Was it words and actions? I don't know. He had a lot of things that could literally mean anything in any corporate culture. He does a lot of speaking to corporations, so it makes sense that things would fit in. But you know what you really want is someone to display competency. I always tell people there's this scene in Tommy Boy. Love Chris Farley, love Tommy Boy, where he's in an elevator. He has road flare strapped to him. He's pretending to have a bomb strapped to him so he can get on the news and save his company. And the person he really wants to talk to is the head of this auto parts company that's going to buy his, played by Dan Aykroyd. They get in the elevator together, and Chris Farley, he had been sweating. And so to cover it up, he grabbed an air freshener, a car air freshener, and he rubbed it all over himself. And he can tell that Dan Aykroyd smells him. And he says, it's a car air freshener. And Dan Aykroyd tells him, yeah, you went a little heavy on the pine tree perfume. You've pinpointed what the problem is. The next step is washing it off, right? So it's one thing to identify problems. It's another thing to take care of problems. Graham Rossini has very much impressed me and a lot of other people in his ability to identify problems, commiserate with the fan base on some of the longstanding issues they've had around tailgating, game day environment, you know, welcoming people into the fold, embracing NIL. He's identified those things and he has said that they are priorities. The next step is actually putting that into place. We are all waiting with bated breath to see if he can do that. But there's an optimism surrounding this program that hasn't been there, I would say, in 5-6 years, because he's personable. He feels he carries with him an air of humility that and Ray Anderson earned the ability to not carry around that air of humility. But when everything around you is a dumpster fire, carrying yourself as if you are
the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah. But your room is on fire, sir.
Yes.
And so, you know, we're in a situation, I think, where we're very, very optimistic. But the things that they've said they were going to address are very specific, and if they don't do those things, I do worry what the reaction to that will be. But I'm excited. I really am, and I the competence part is what stands out to me the most.
Time. That's what he needs. He just needs time. And there's a lot there that you just can't fix in a football season. And you know, just me, and then we'll wrap it up here. But I look at Kenny this season. It's really not fair to even judge Kenny until probably midpoint of this year. You know, to think that they're just going to come right out after what happened. It wasn't even a year ago that this whole team was told, you're not going to go to a bowl game. The whole thing gets turned upside down. The damage that was done from no NIL to trying to recoup the NIL to, they don't even have half the NIL that most of these big programs have because they go tap on the same donors over and over and over and over and over. That doesn't mean there's not reason to be optimistic or to go to Camp Tanazona or to do whatever it is, but you can't throw it all on Kenny and say, well, year two, they only won two games. I think they're going to be better than that. What does better look like? Is it 4 or 5 wins? It's better than last year. That's it.
Yeah. They stunk last year and they were like 10 points away from going 6-6.
Right.
So I think the optimism is founded. And I would say that, you know, it feels like you're preaching to Arizona State fans, but I think the person you should be preaching to is the one who has the least amount of patience with Kenny Dillingham. Kenny Dillingham. He wants to win right now. He does not have that kind of patience for himself and what he's trying to do. So it is interesting watching a 34-year-old who wants to be excellent navigate in this pressure cooker environment when he's the one putting more pressure on himself than literally anyone else. I'm interested to see how he stands up to his own pressure as much as I am the pressure that we put on him.
Good to chop it up with you, my friend. I appreciate your time. Stay safe. Are you guys in the middle of that storm back there? Is that coming your way? I saw you're getting a big storm. Are you in the middle of it?
We get one at like 5 p.m. every day, so it's hard they're all to keep the same. Track. Yeah, the nice thing about the rain out here is it knows where to go when it hits the ground. But yeah, I just assume 5 p.m. is it a hurricane? Is it a tropical storm? Or is it just the garden getting watered? I don't know. So well, I'll let you know. I did have a 45-foot branch that's 50 years old crush my pool fence last week, so at least that's out of the way. We won't have that happen again.
That's good. There's Rafa Amsden, and we're back with more after this timeout.